This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, here on a Monday. All right, I didn't see it. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know how many people thought this was actually was going to happen. But the Jets beat the Dallas Cowboys. They handed Dallas their third straight loss and picked up their first win of the season. Okay, look, we shouldn't be overly shocked when teams upset teams in the National Football League. It's not college football, right? This isn't, UT Martin beating Auburn or something like that. This is not that. This is an NFL football team with professional athletes playing another professional football team with professional athletes, and it shouldn't be all that surprising. You know what is surprising to me, though? I was under the impression that Sam Darnold had this enlarged spleen, was coming back from mono, was, dealing with this illness that made you weak, and it was going to be a little bit of a process to get back in. Somebody tell me what mono is, because I'm
100% with you. I need to apologize to all Jets fans from last week, because I said, don't start Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I said, he will die. He will get murdered if he gets out there and face his first game back against the Cowboys. Are you kidding me?
He threw a 92-yard pass, and this wasn't like a 4-yard pass that Robbie Anderson took to the house.
He chucked
a chucked ball down to like the 40-yard line of the Cowboys, and he ran it in for a touchdown. It was great. Darnold was just fun to watch. He had the Jets. The Jets played lighter. Look, obviously they weren't burdened by the Luke Falk disaster, but this, I was under the same impression. Plus, I thought you lost a lot of weight, with mono, you'd be weaker. I was led to believe this was pretty much close to death.
Yeah, I was really, I kept watching that game and it's like, is this really happening?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, they're going to pull this off? Are they really going to beat the Cowboys? And they did. And Jerry Jones now is like, nah, this is not on Jason Garrett. But privately, he's probably like, this is all on Jason Garrett.
Oh, that's on. You saw the video, right?
Yeah.
Him shaking hands with his teammates coming off the field?
Yeah.
Or not?
Not, yeah, exactly. He's not a thrilled owner right now. This is a bad, bad situation for the Cowboys after a 3-0 start.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. So week 6 in the National Football League, there is a sense, and this is a little early, but it's kind of at that point, where if you are a team that is struggling or your team that needs some help in certain areas, there's a little bit of panic setting into a number of teams. We just talked about the Dallas Cowboys at 3-3. Now, they're tied with Philadelphia, who also has their problems in a loss to the Minnesota Vikings. I said this earlier, somebody's going to win this division, and it doesn't really matter what your record is, unless, of course, you're playing to get a bye week. If you don't want to play an extra game in the playoffs. But push that aside for a second. It really doesn't matter what your record is going in. Just get in, right? And then let's see what happens. And if you're the Eagles and the Cowboys, the goal is to just get in. You've got some issues. The Cowboys have some injuries. Philadelphia gave up way too many big plays against the Eagles. Against the Vikings, I should say. So those two teams have got some things to work out. But in the end, somebody's going to win that division. But the Cowboys, that's a very dangerous position to be in, to be on this losing skid, to go on the road and lose to a team like the Jets. Sam Darnold or no Sam Darnold. The Cowboys had the first three games of their season in which they looked impressive at 3-0, but now we know because they beat the Giants, they beat the Redskins, and they beat the Dolphins. Okay, you got to play somebody, all right? When they went to play somebody, the results weren't all that great. Now they go on the road to play a team that has no wins on the season, who are getting a quarterback who has missed 4 weeks due to mono, and he threw two touchdowns, beat you, and you leave now 3-3. So all of the, hey, look at the Cowboys. Now look, in the NFL, we all as fans can judge you even when you beat an inferior football team. We can still like the way your offense moves. We still like the way your quarterback plays. We can still like the way your defense performs. Just because you roll over a bad NFL team doesn't mean we can't see some bright spots on your football team. But we did say over and over again, look, we got to wait till they start playing a team that has a better record than any of these three teams that they played. But the Eagles, in their game against Minnesota, just gave up too many huge plays. All of a sudden now, the Vikings are 4-2, and whatever Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs were complaining about a couple of weeks ago, that seems to be a long-forgotten complaint now. I mean, Diggs had three touchdown catches, Thielen had one, and Kirk Cousins looks great. 4 touchdowns, 333 through the air. All of a sudden, the Vikings have now. Remember, they were the team on the kind of, oh, well, the Vikings are struggling right now. They're 2-2, and we don't really know what kind of team they are. You got a game tonight, for example, where the Detroit Lions are playing the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, right? And if Detroit upsets the Packers, well, it's a 3.5-point favorite. But if Detroit wins this game on the road tonight, oh, boy, look at that division now. Right? Right now, the most competitive division in football. And it could have been the West if Arizona would kick it up even after their win against Atlanta, pick up a win or two. But nevertheless, the NFC North is the division right now in terms of competitiveness. I just can't believe how easy Kirk Cousins made it look against an Eagles secondary. Do you see the separation the Viking receivers got on these plays? I mean, there was like 5 yards of separation. And Cousins is knocking them down. So, again, it's not too early to start getting a little panicking, but don't go overboard. Don't go overboard. Because things have a tendency to sort of work itself out. Teams that race out a little bit, come back to the norm. You may find yourself down 3 games at this point. Next thing you know, in a couple of weeks, you find yourself down only 1 with 7 or 8 games to play. There's still a lot of room to work with here. Like if you're in Kansas City, and that loss to Houston may trouble you because Patrick Mahomes has got like a little bit of a tweaked ankle and you start noticing that he does play a little differently when that happens. No need to panic. If you're in Houston, that's a great road victory.
Great road victory.
Great road victory. All of a sudden, the Texans are a team to be, start throwing into the mix a little bit.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Underappreciated tweet of the day yesterday came from Rich Eisen. And I thought it was brilliant. The once upon a time 4-0 Chiefs and 3-0 Rams and Cowboys are all combined 0-8 since then.
Wow. That is a really good tweet. That's a really good insight.
Never would have thought that. I mean, because at one point, I think we had all three of these teams in our top five.
Right.
And just, going on and on about, it's going to be Chiefs, Rams. Oh, we can see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. Now I'm looking at it like, I mean, I'm not worried about the Chiefs. I think, there's plenty of football left in them. And the AFC West is kind of down. I mean, even though they've dropped two, they're still in first. Comfortably in first.
Right.
But if I'm a Cowboys fan or player, I'm fine. I'm at the Rams organization, I'm a little worried.
I am very worried about the Rams. There's one team, though, that I will say I'll give the pass on that don't really panic quite yet. If I'm the Rams, I'm starting to get really worried. That one, it's a bad loss in the division. Two, Jared Goff looked really terrible. There is For the second straight game, there is now a game plan on the Rams who don't have Todd Gurley when Todd Gurley doesn't play. There is a way now you can game plan to really limit Goff and make him look very, very pedestrian. But two, what have we been saying, right? If you don't win the division, you are in a pile of teams that are competing for two spots. And the Rams right now are not head and shoulders just just change a few things better than a team like the Vikings that may be on the outside looking in, for example, or the Bears, or even the Lions. Let's not throw them out of the mix. Or the way Carolina is playing right now. Or one of the two teams in the East that is vying for a spot. Or, heck, even in their own division, Seattle. Think about all those teams I just mentioned. Only two of those are getting in as we stand right now, right? Look, I know this will shuffle a little bit, but right now, they are in the same conversation as the Vikings. They're in the same conversation as the Panthers, the same conversation as Seattle, the Lions, the Bears. There's just too many teams, and they're three games back now. Or I should say two and a half, because the Niners had a bye week, so they only have five games to the Rams' six. But three games in the loss column to the division leader, and two games back of Seattle, who's already beaten them this season. I know we have a lot of football left to play, but if the Rams don't turn it up and keep chase in a division, they're going to find themselves in a wild card conversation that they right now, I don't think, want to be in.
Right now, they're not even in it.
Right. They're not even in it.
They're not even in the wild card conversation. I mean, just a handful of the teams. I mean, the NFC North, now the Vikings have turned around and started playing well again. That is a tough, tough division.
Right.
Because I have a feeling that, you know, obviously the winner will go through, but I think the other two spots will go to the NFC North.
Yeah. Right now, it's a little too dangerous right now to be losing these kind of games. And listen, losing to the 49ers, fine, but the way they looked makes me really concerned for the Rams. That's a team that we had better expectations for. Remember, boy, it's kind of funny now when you just think about where we were a year ago, talking about how, look at the way the NFL is with offenses. Look at the way what Sean McVay is doing on offense. Look at all these points. Patrick Mahomes, all of these points. Look at this 55-51 game, and look how it's going to change the NFL. Well, that was overblown, because it came back, and it came back to the norm. And when it does, it doesn't have a good look to it. That's the way the Rams are right now. And I'm not saying they can't run through the next couple of games. Looking it up, they have the Falcons, the Bengals, and the Steelers, all right? All right, they got a Bears team that's tough, a Ravens team that's tough, but they got both of those games at home. They still have to play the Cardinals twice, so there's still a lot of games in which the Rams can win. But right now, the book is out on what you can do to Goff. If Goff is comfortable in the pocket, it'll eat you up. But if you disrupt that, he's not a very good quarterback.
No.
He's not a very good quarterback.
He hasn't shown anything this season, really, or the, I'm not going to say the season, but the last couple of games, last several weeks, he hasn't shown anything to be with the elite status.
Yeah,
he was moving that direction, especially last year. We were looking at him like, oh man, he's going to be one of the best. He's going to be a top five quarterback. Right now, he's regressed so much that he almost like, man, I don't even know if he would start for the Titans at this point.
And as you said earlier, it's a Todd Gurley thing, right? You add that dynamic running game, it opens up a lot of different options for your offense. But when that's not there, and there isn't a feeling like anybody else is just going to run the ball down your throat, defensively, you can start game planning for Goff and easily disrupt whatever pattern he is seeing in the game. And that's a problem for sure. He's got to fix it.
That was the Niners' game plan, wasn't it? It was like,
sure was.
We'll let you guys run on us. Go ahead, run all over us.
But you ain't going to pass. We ain't going to go downfield.
But, you know, and with the Cowboys, I think it is. I mean, yeah, you know, they're still top of the division, tied 3-3 with the Eagles. But I say it's a cause for concern because they haven't been able to beat anyone good.
Yeah, and that's another thing, right? Again, look, it's okay to lose to a bad team in the NFL, right? As long as, you know, all right, listen, we had a bad night, we had a bad game. So I don't get too crazy when that occurs, but this is not that. This is a little different, right? The Cowboys have lost two games. They haven't really looked all that great doing it. And now they've got some other problems and they've got a lot of injuries, right? It feels like every week I read about another Cowboy that's going to have this problem, or he's got this rest, or he's got this back tweaking, or this heel hurts, or this. All right. But everybody's got some injuries. But this looks different. This feels different. The Cowboys have an issue they've got to work through and get out. The Eagles are not running away with this, so they're keeping pace. And the Eagles lost earlier in the day. They lose, and now they're both 3-3. So again, they're not looking up at anybody. But fix this, because right now you're on a downward spiral, and you don't want guys to start feeling and getting in the funk. Jason Garrett has got to figure out a way to go, look, I've got to find a way to take over games instead of trying to come back in games. And boy,
you look at the game for next Sunday night, Eagles Cowboys. I mean, that I think that's going to be the tell-all game of the NFC East,
because both teams are going to the drawing board saying, look, we were exposed in this and that, whether it's the Eagles giving up big yardage or whether it's the Cowboys, you know, defensive lapses and Dak Prescott not being as sharp. All of those things have got to be fixed for Sunday night's game for both teams, because both fan bases are not going to want to be embarrassed on Sunday night NFL football on NBC. All right, coming up, college football Saturday. Can I just at least tell you my story? That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tua stands in, Tua looks near side, wide open, Ruggs, he'll make the grab, he's in, touchdown Alabama. Henry Ruggs, 33 yards on the receiving end of a beautifully thrown football from Tua Tagovailoa.
They give it to Lawrence, he flips it back to Rogers. Rogers from the right side, turns it up at the hash, at the 20, the 15, the 10. He's at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown. A little razzle-dazzle for 6, and Clemson extends the lead to 34-0 at the 11:49 mark, third quarter.
Burrow, snap back. Stands in the pocket, releases, catches, grabbed by Chase at about the 30-yard line, far side, he's in for the score, touchdown, touchdown, Tigers! 54-yard touchdown pass, and the Tigers make it 41-28. He pulled it! Unbelievable! South Carolina wins!
It's a little montage of college football Saturday. Alabama, the great Eli Gold on the call on the Alabama Radio Network, Clemson Radio Network, LSU Radio Network, and what was the last one there? That was television?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I didn't hear the great Todd Ellis on the call for the Gamecocks. By the way, Todd Ellis, that's my quarterback. He was the quarterback of the team when I was a freshman there. Good old Todd Ellis. And now is the play-by-play announcer for the
Gamecocks. Was that an exciting game? I can't remember.
Okay, so let me tell you my little story here real quick. So Saturday was... My wife's nickname around our house sometimes, every now and then, is Lori the Saturday Killer. Because every now and then she'll come up with a plan to do on Saturday. She'll be like, hey, the garage really needs cleaned out, or this needs to be done, or this needs to be done. So Saturday was garage cleaning day. We have to really organize the garage. And I agreed with her. I said, I agree completely. The garage is an embarrassment disaster. It needs to be cleaned. But South Carolina's playing Georgia. But I wasn't really high for the game because I didn't want to sit through a basic beatdown by the Bulldogs, because South Carolina has had an up and down season, which they looked okay, but you know, they're just not a good team right now. The goal is just get a bowl game. So I had it on, we'd clean the garage, I'd come back and clean the garage. And about the first half, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I go in and see this, I see the interception return for a touchdown, and I'm like, wait, South Carolina is winning this game. Now, my wife is excited because she doesn't like Georgia, and she needs Georgia to lose because she feels like it'll help Florida out a little bit. I get it. All right, so it's 17-10 at halftime. But again, I'm still not like overly confident, right?
Georgia's going to come back.
I'm like, Georgia's at home. They're the number 3 team in the nation. This is, you know. So we continue to clean the garage. I continue to go in. And then at one point I go, I'm done. I'm out. I got to watch this game. This game's close. I says, it's the third quarter. Georgia's punting again. I'm like, I got to sit down for this. So she goes, go ahead. So I'm watching the game and I'm sitting there going, okay, I have just been over the last couple of years prone to a feeling of inevitability when it comes to these kind of games, right? South Carolina will have these, you would play a team like Florida, play a team like back when Tennessee was good, for example, or Clemson when Clemson was, you know, Clemson is good, but the, you know, back in before that, They would have these games where they would be in the game and be in the game and be in the game only. Oh, a turnover, a interception late, a giving up a long touchdown, whatever it was. And then they would lose the game. So I've been kind of conditioned to believe this. So that's what I was feeling late in the game. Georgia went on a 96-yard touchdown drive in the fourth quarter to tie the game at 17. South Carolina goes down the field and decides on fourth and short to kick a 57-yard field goal. This is the moment. Now, I just prefaced it by saying, throughout my entire existence as a South Carolina Gamecock, I've been conditioned to believe that the inevitable will happen. Something will fail. Something will break down. Something will be a mistake. And that would cost them a chance to make these kind of games a reality for the school. We don't have very many of them, but there's a moment where you feel like, okay, don't screw this up, please. You've screwed these kind of games up in the past. This was that moment when he sent Parker White to go kick a 57-yard field goal with like 40 seconds remaining. There are three choices in that situation. One, you go for it on like, it was fourth and three, I think. You go for it, try to get the first down, continue the drive, get closer to kick a game-winning field goal. Two, punt it and try to pin Georgia back so that they can't go 50, 60 yards to kick a game-winning field goal in 40 seconds. Or three, kick a 57-yard field goal and hope your kicker on the road knocks it through the uprights. This kick had no chance. None. But my choice would have been going for it on fourth down. What would have happened if you failed on fourth down? Turnover on downs. Where do they get the ball? Right there, where you failed. Same thing here. Go out there, send your kid out for a 57-yard field goal. Where do they get the ball? Right there. Right? It made no sense. And it was one of the dumbest. It still is, regardless of the fact that it came through and they won the game. The dumbest thing I've ever seen a coach do with that much time left against Jake Fromm to send your kid out to try to kick a 57-yarder. Well, he misses. And now I'm prone to believe this game's over. Oh, but au contraire, the game goes in overtime because Georgia makes some mistakes and can't kick their potential game-winning field goal. So it goes into OT. What does South Carolina do on the first overtime, on the first possession by Georgia? They intercept the ball! Isn't this just, I mean, you can't ask for a better thing. They're not going to score. And that means all you have to do is score anything. Just score a field, kick a field goal. It's all you have to do. And you win the game. And they miss. They miss. Now it's going into second overtime, and all the television cameras can show is Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift and Kirby Smart just like, yeah, we got a second chance. So South Carolina opens up the possession in the second overtime, and they end up kicking a field goal. Fine. Just don't let Georgia score a touchdown. We'll go into the third overtime, see what happens. They play great defense. Ricardo Blankenship comes out there for Georgia. He's an all-SEC kicker. And he's going to kick a 42-yarder. Tough, but they're at home, and he's really good at kicking the ball. And he misses. He kicked a 50-yard field goal at the start of the game. He misses. He misses. And I'm screaming like a kid. I can't believe this. They've upset the Georgia Bulldogs in Athens. This is what makes sports so great. This really does. Because even though college football isn't designed to let everybody into a playoff or everybody has an opportunity to try to win a division or an SEC title or or Big Ten title, you do have seasons where the bowl games are a nice reward for a season in which you're trying to build something. That's what this season is. They're trying to build something. They're down to their third string quarterback and they went on the road to beat Georgia. I can't begin to tell you how happy I was. I couldn't believe it even after like 2 hours later. I couldn't believe they pulled this off. And I couldn't believe the circumstances in which they pulled this off. Rodrigo Blankenship missing a field goal at the end of a 42-yard field goal at home? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. These are the things, if you're a sports fan, sometimes you have these moments where you go, it all worked out, and this is something I can take. Regardless of how the season goes, this is the game I can say it was a success in 2019, upsetting Georgia at Georgia.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Monday. After all of that fun that we saw over the weekend in baseball, college football, NFL, what is the good today?
The good, you know what? This good may not be good for everyone across the nation, but it certainly was good in my household.
Okay.
Fortnite went through their new season of Fortnite is coming out. They were at season 10, then they're moving to season 11, right? And it's always a big deal. There's a little video montage that happens. This video montage started happening. My kids were all excited, like, oh my God, season 11 is here, it's coming. And they see their whole Fortnite world or island or whatever it is gets sucked into a black hole. And the screen goes black. And then a little, like, blue, whitish beacon just keeps popping.
Oh.
And it's still doing that now.
I did not understand any of that.
Apparently, Fortnite...
Fortnite? Fortnite is an online game.
Fortnite
video
is an
game?
Online game. It's like a first person shooter game. It's okay. All the rage with the kids, you know, and it cost us a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot of money, but you go and you try to get these skins, like different outfits. And so I'm constantly being harassed by my kids. Hey, can I have $10? Can I have $10 to buy Fortnite skins?
What? $10?
Yeah, sometimes $25. Depending on the skin.
And you're doing this good. You're like father of the year.
You gave a kid
$25 to buy an online skin for a video game. Good for you.
Nothing comes for free.
I was going to say, Mike.
No, they definitely work
the
for it.
The cost of a video game.
Yeah. Yeah. In our day it was. Yeah.
For Atari cartridge.
But this, my wife was dancing because they couldn't play Fortnite. The game is temporarily shut down across the country.
Is that by design?
I have to assume it's by design. I can't believe Fortnite would just end. It's like a billion-dollar business. These guys are just printing cash with Fortnite. It's probably the largest online game going on right now.
Okay, yeah, but they could do it to just say to...
Oh, I think they're doing this.
They're doing it on purpose.
I think they're doing it on purpose, and they're going to have a big, gigantic announcement later this week.
Got it. Okay.
But it was fantastic because there was no Fortnite being played in our house. We always kick the kids out of the house anyways. But on Sunday, we actually had them hanging out with us watching a little TV.
Which is probably what they did not want to do.
Yeah.
Enjoy that while you can last. My kids do not. My kids are not teenagers. They don't want anything to do with us.
My 8-year-old was just beside himself. Like, what does this mean? Why can't I play? I don't get it. And you just go to the screen. And it's just like picture. You remember the movie The Ring?
Yeah.
And you remember just seeing
Naomi Watts.
Yeah. You remember just seeing like the ring circle on the TV screen. That's all that you saw. It's kind of like that, except it's blue and white, and it's not as ominous.
That's great.
But it's just, this game has gone dark. And, I mean, you see, there's all these videos on Twitter, on all the social medias, of people just freaking out, having their own theories. All of a sudden, these numbers just start to appear every once in a while. And people think, oh, the numbers mean this and that. I mean, it's completely an event. And they're building it up all week long. I wouldn't be surprised if it lasts a whole week of just, just adding to the suspense.
I will take your word for it. That is not a world I know, but
this was a good in my household. Other households, probably not.
All right. What's the bad today?
The bad of the day is that the Jaguars never had a chance of winning yesterday.
The Jags never had a chance of winning yesterday.
Never had a chance winning yesterday.
And I think I know why.
Because the Pope tweeted out his support for the Saints prior to kickoff yesterday.
Well done, Pope. Well done.
The Pope tweeted.
Is the Pope tweeting? Does he tweet often?
I have no idea if he tweets often. Basically, yesterday he said, "Today we give thanks to the Lord for our new saints." Our new hashtag saints. They walked by faith, and now we involve their intercession. And the problem was that when you use the hashtag saints, it's the NFL hashtag.
Oh, I gotcha.
So the little Fleur de Lis, little Saints icon, appears next to the Saints. So if you are following the Saints, that appears on your timeline. All of a sudden, you're like, hey, the Pope is tweeting about our team.
Well done, Pope. He did it on purpose, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I know you love it, but if you're a Jaguars fan, if you're a Gardner Minshew fan, you had no chance of winning yesterday.
Yeah, none.
When the holiest man on the planet popes out his support for the team you're playing against, you're toast. You're done.
Okay, good. So the Jags, who were held to two Josh Lambeau field goals, we now have an excuse why they were held to that. We can't blame Gardner. We weren't going to do that anyway.
Divine intervention.
It was divine intervention. So you know what? There's just no way around it. God, Teddy Bridgewater. My God.
He did not have a great game.
He's being protected by a power on high. Yes.
And Bridgewater didn't have a great game.
He just keeps winning these starts for whatever reason. They just keep popping up. He just keeps winning these games. He doesn't throw lights out. He just keeps winning these games.
And for at least one game, we know why.
Stop tweeting, Pope. Let the other teams have a chance. Stop messing with the NFL.
I mean, how brilliant is it? I didn't even know the Pope knew what a hashtag was.
I know. That's what I was saying. Is the Pope actually tweeting? Like, is he? Why doesn't the Pope do what other people do on Twitter? Comment like on politics and complain about the Redskins, right? Or just something along those lines. Wouldn't it be great if the Pope was tweeting like, "Woke up this morning, eggs were terrible."
Yep.
Why does he do that? That'd be fun. Like, what if? Can somebody get to the Pope and say, tweet like your everyday life? Woke up this morning, read the Bible, watched the latest episode of Walking Dead, went down the street for a cup of coffee. They didn't have what I wanted. I left. Like, do that. Do that. Give us some more insight into the daily Pope life.
Maybe look at the games that need it, like Redskins, Dolphins. They needed your support yesterday, one team or the other. I don't care who. Just show your support.
You know how all these people claim they're hacked on Twitter when they send out some racist thing and then they go, I was hacked. Would you, if you were a hacker, would you try to hack the Pope's account, or is that playing with fire?
Ooh, yeah, I think I would. If you were a hacker, have to leave that one alone.
Would you go, well, there's other guys in the world I wouldn't mind hacking and setting up them as, you know, these nefarious, you know, characteristics, but I better not do it to the Pope. I just don't want to answer for that.
Yeah, even if you're an atheist.
Just don't take a chance.
There'd still be a part of you that goes, I don't know if I want to do his account.
I don't know if I want to mess with the Pope's account.
He's got a lot of followers, but
especially after they held Josh Lambeau to just two field goals.
Yeah. I mean, you sit there. I mean, even as an atheist, you'd probably in the back of your mind go, well, what if I'm wrong?
Right. Right. I don't want to be messing around with the Pope's Twitter account.
This guy's the right-hand man on planet Earth. I don't know about that one.
Do you think we'll ever have a moment where we'll say, God, that Pope tweets too much?
No.
All he does is tweet.
No.
Can he get to just the issues at hand? Can he help out with the world, religious issues and the charitable things of the church? Does he have to tweet all the time?
Does he have to complain all the time?
All the time. Pope on Twitter. That's great. That's awesome.
God bless the Saints.
God bless the Saints. Wonderful. Did Drew Brees respond back or Teddy Bridgewater #Pope?
No, I mean, they should have.
Thanks, Pope. Appreciate it. Yeah. All the best to you.
Other people did.
Hope to see you at the Vatican.
I mean, one guy, I don't even know who this guy is. I'll give him it's @JRock23. Here, I thought Gardner Minshew the second was the chosen one. Nope, it was Teddy Bridgewater all along.
All along. Good point.
New Orleans Saints tweeted, couldn't lose after this. Blessed and highly favored.
One of my favorite Pope stories involving sports is when John Paul II was Pope. He was doing the American tour, and he was doing autographs, and somebody gave him a baseball to autograph. I think it was a baseball player. Gave him a baseball. I think it was with the San Francisco Giants. And he signed it JP2. He just put JP2. I thought, that's cool. Like, instead of just, writing some sort of scripture or whatever, like, that would have been nice too, but JP2 on the baseball. That'd have been nice. But I wonder what this Pope would, if this Pope is a sports fan. I know he's isn't he South African, South American? Isn't he from Peru? Not Peru. God, I don't even know.
The Pope,
Argentina,
the
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's from Argentina.
Listen to me. I'm just, well, why don't I just throw out every country and hope it lands on the right one?
You're probably right. You know, isn't he from a country of this planet?
Right? I think so. Way to go, Pope. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Have you seen these things, Nike's Jesus shoes?
No, I did not. Okay. Tell me about them.
These are shoes filled with holy water. So at the bottom, you know, like how they have the Air Max?
Can't wait for the Pope to tweet about this.
I know, seriously. But you remember, the Air Max has like that see-through look? Well, they threw in some holy water from the River Jordan.
Whoa.
In there. So you literally are walking on water. That's what, hence the name Jesus shoes. And they're selling for nearly $4,000.
Whose idea was this?
I don't know. I almost think it's sacrilegious.
It kind of is.
I think the Pope would tweet out about it. I mean, you shouldn't be walking on holy water. Or, you know, you're going to get them dirty. But at the same time, there wasn't it. You know, it's kind of like this only one guy's thing. That was like his main thing.
Right.
It was like his. You're now stealing his thing.
What if you bought the Jesus shoes with the holy water, and as you're walking, it starts to boil?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make you go, yeah?
You know, or it starts to leak and it causes a flood in your living room.
Yeah, right. What a weird department meeting that must have been. All right, guys, we need an idea for shoes. Let's throw some stuff out here. Come on. No idea is a bad idea. No, let's go. And then they went, how about we take the shoes and we fill the bottom of it with water from the River Jordan and call them Jesus shoes?
Maxwell, you're an idiot.
That we said no idea was a dumb idea. That's a dumb idea. No. And then they just mulled on it and went, no.
If we do that, we can sell it for $4,000. Great idea.
Oh, great idea. I'm sorry. Did you say dumb idea? I meant great idea. Let's get some buckets. Let's head over to the Jordan River. Let's get some of those things and get this in production now. Stat.
How do you even get that by customs?
I know.
I mean,
right?
isn't that part of like, I mean, you can't bring fruit across state lines. How do you, you have to do it in small quantities. And when was the last time you brought a big bottle of water on the plane?
Yeah, that's true. You can't. No, you'd have to fill out all the paperwork and stuff, wouldn't you?
I mean, you'd have to. Or are you smuggling it?
So what are you doing again?
Are you just saying it's holy water?
Yeah, that's right. We'll just pretend it's the River
Jordan.
Oregon
tap water.
Right. Let's pretend it's from the River Jordan.
They
what are you doing
know.
Here again? Well, we're taking the water out of the river.
Yeah.
Get this. We're making a shoe, and then the water goes into the... Nah, you can't come in here. I'm sorry.
They don't know that it's the River Jordana.
Yeah, right?
It's a typo.
That's
just leave
right.
It. Leave it be. No one's noticing.
$4,000.
Grand for shoes where... I mean, they look like any other Nike... I'm going to say Nike Air Max. I'm not a shoe guy. But I just remember the Nike Air Max being a thing back when I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
And that's what they kind of look like. They just have like that gel look underneath, and then it's filled with water, supposedly from the River Jordan.
See, LeVar Ball is like, shoot, that's what I should have done. Damn. Oh, right. I should have taken some holy water, thrown it in the bottom of the shoe. The big ball of brand would be awesome. Let's go with that. God, that's crazy. 4,000. I wouldn't mind doing a follow-up on this like 3 months later to see where the Jesus shoes are. Just to see if they're selling, see if they're popular, see if people actually want them. Like the Pope tweeting, this is a couple of like feel like spiritual ramifications that I don't want to mess around with.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is a Monday on SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Back to college football for a second. Saturday night, Florida and LSU played a battle of unbeaten teams. And I'm telling you, I have never seen an LSU team look this good and this sharp offensively in terms of the – I mean, I was blown away how efficient Joe Burrow was against a good Florida defense. That's a good Florida defense. And listen, there's no moral victories. I get that. But Florida played right with LSU until the end of that game. I mean, they were matching LSU touchdown for touchdown, going down the field just as efficiently as LSU was. Then the mistakes occurred, and then LSU exploded. And then, so the score was a two touchdown differential, but LSU had to score three unanswered touchdowns in the game in order to beat this Florida team. Florida, and I told you this last week, this is not a debilitating loss. They control their own destiny. In a way, same with Georgia. If both of them win out, meaning a win out and then the trip to the SEC title game, they'll be in the playoff. They have got to run through their schedule unbeaten, and then they've got to win the SEC title game, and then they will go to the playoff. So neither one of these teams has anything to worry about or be upset about and whatnot. If anything, Dan Mullen has a lot to be happy with about the way Florida played. Obviously, they didn't win. That was the goal. They didn't accomplish that goal. But if you are looking for some good things, Florida played really well in terms of their offense. Defensively, I just don't think you're stopping LSU. You can have Florida's got NFL-level players, right? And yet, Joe Burrow carved them up. I mean, he really did. He carved them up. He was efficient, 21 of 24 against the Gators for three touchdowns. And he had guys that just made plays, really made plays. But Georgia and Florida both still are in the race. The problem is you can't lose again. Texas is now not in it anymore. They lost to Oklahoma. They can win the Big 12, but a two-loss team ain't getting in. But it's a tough team to play LSU down the stretch. And the Tigers still have to play Auburn. They still have to play Alabama. They still got some games on their schedule. But right now, I've never seen LSU look this sharp and this good. Hey, we're scary. SB Nation AM.